let's turn back to Philippians. Now I'm going to see if I can cover a little bit more before we transition to our business meeting. Look in chapter 2 of Philippians, and then on page 282, if you do have a workbook from several years ago when we started going through this, you can turn there as well. We'll hopefully get through at least one blank tonight, but I can't promise that's going to even happen. In Philippians chapter 2, I wasn't going to put it up on the board, but since Delmas put the board up for me, I don't think I needed it tonight since I don't have much time. But since he put it up here, now I feel indebted to put something on it. So yeah. I'm going to write on it.
It'll make me mad.
That's okay. So does anybody remember the $10 word I gave you last week for Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11? Okay, the kenosis passage. So I don't really need to write it up here, but since Delmas put the board up, we're going to do it. And while we're on a roll, and in case this comes up on Jeopardy, from what language does the word kenosis come from?
Greek.
All right, Greek. Your New Testament's written in Greek, right? So what you hold in your hand is an English translation of the original text. Okay, it was in Greek. And so what happens is, in Philippians chapter 2, when you look through the verses, and we went through this a little bit last week, when you get down to verse 7, when Paul talks about how Jesus existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, then in verse 7 he says, but he emptied himself. And the word emptied himself, that is the word, it's coming from this word, kenosis. So scholars and theologians call this the kenosis passage. That is not going to change your life in one bit, I promise you. But that is what it is, in case you ever hear that and you'll be familiar with the term. So what happens in these verses is Paul uses the example of Jesus humbling himself to argue that we too should have that same mindset and that same perspective as we live on this earth. So let's look at the very first blank under this section. So this is near the bottom of 282, and we're called to imitate and live as Jesus lived. How did he show his humility? So in verse 7 of this passage, this is coming straight from the verse. So you may or may not even need to put it down in the blank. But Paul says, for us to have the attitude which Jesus had, he could have held on to that position with God the Father in verse 6, but he emptied himself. And the way he did that in the rest of verse 7 is he took the form of a bondservant and he was made in the likeness of men. So if you want another, I'm going to call this an $8 word. Okay, kenosis is a $10 word. That's one not many people are familiar with. But if you want more of an $8 word for verse 7, this is called incarnation, right? Okay, most people call December 25th Christmas. But the Bible calls it incarnation. And I would love if you did this sometime. It might make you look weird, so you probably shouldn't. But I would love if you signed your Christmas card like Merry Incarnation. Happy Incarnation Day. Because that's what it is, okay, theologically. So for God to take on flesh, he becomes incarnate, okay? And so when Paul says he could have held on to his position in heaven, equality with God, all the glory there, he could have held on to that, but he emptied himself of that and he took on flesh and became one of us. Now, who remembers the first Sunday of every year? Wow, Patricia would have this marked a lot in her Bible. First Sunday of every year, when we start with the Lord's Supper, I think I give you the same 3 points every first Sunday because we talk about the previous year and then look at the basis with the Lord's Supper. And I always give you a quote by C.S. Lewis every single year. Who, does anybody remember?
Something about a slug.
That's it. Something but a slug and not through your shotgun, right? So C.S. Lewis says that to properly understand the incarnation, right? And God taking on flesh, becoming like us, it would be about like one of us taking on the form of a slug. to save all the other slugs. That's a pretty good picture, because we were, I guess it was last week, we escaped the heat and went to the mountains in like northwest North Carolina, and we actually did a lot of the hiking trails there, which I enjoyed that, and Abigail wasn't. And we're walking along the trail, and it wasn't a slug exactly, but we're going along, and all of a sudden Rhonda looks down and sees a snail. And that thing, it's trucking. You know, I think it covered that much distance in 10 minutes as we stared at it, you know. But I looked at that, you know, even the body of that snail, how slow it was, it's like, wow. You know, you look sidewalk sometimes, see that little slug, it's like, I couldn't imagine leaving like what I'm accustomed to and become one of them things so I could save all the rest of them things down there. C.S. Lewis says that's about what it took for God to take on human flesh, become one of us. So when Paul in verse 7 says he became human, that's the incarnation. Okay, that's what we call Christmas. And I'll tell you this too, and this may or may not surprise you. There's a lot of people around you, they love Christmas, they like decorating, love the tree, love the lights, love the food. I'm one of them, love that stuff. But a lot of people around us in our society today, they truly do not know why there is a holiday called Christmas. Right. I mean, I'm serious. They do not know that. I mean, we think, how can you not? But if you don't grow up with any connection to not just a church, but a Bible-believing church and people that kind of emphasize like what it's about, you truly can grow up in the United States of America and have no idea that Christmas has any connection to God. That it's a spiritual holiday. That's how bad it is. So verse 7 is your Christmas verse. How did he humble, or how did he show humility? He emptied himself. He was made in the likeness of men, became like one of us. And it also says in that verse, and the answer on the screen says as well, that the attitude was one of a servant. Right, even Jesus says that he did not come to be served, but to serve. And the Bible over and over calls upon us to be servant leaders. Right? Don't put yourself on a pedestal. You just serve. And I think Jesus says those who serve the most, those have that higher place in his eyes. And that's what I like. I don't like people that are flashy and want the spotlight and headlines. I don't like that. So that's how Jesus came. So if you want to be like him, it's a humble, serving, looking after the affairs of others. And a lot of times it brings a lot of inconvenience to you, because that's what Jesus did. Left the glories of heaven. Now, as a quick hint, the kenosis word, where it says he emptied himself. Alright, I don't know exactly of what he emptied himself. One thing I know that he did not empty himself of was his deity. Okay, there are some who take the verse and they believe that when the Son of God took on flesh and left heaven, that he left his deity above and he was only a man on this earth. Okay, that can't be, because he did things only God can do and he said things only God can say. So over and over in the Bible, it makes it very clear that he is 100% God, 100% man. So it can't be emptying himself of deity, because that won't square with Scripture. So it can't be that. So a couple options I've heard. One is that he emptied himself in that he laid aside his privileges. Right? He had a seat at the right hand of the Father. And he was obedient, it says in these verses, even to the point of death and taking on human flesh. So he laid aside all the privileges that were his as a Son of God and became like us. He emptied himself. And it could be that. I've also heard some say that the emptying of himself pertains more to him just leaving the glories of heaven. Because he didn't have to do that either. I mean, all he's ever known from the beginning, well, there is no beginning of eternity, but from eternity past, all he's ever known is a relationship with the Father as the eternal Son of God. And now, for the first time ever, the Son of God has left the glories of heaven, so emptied himself of those privileges, emptied himself of that glory, and even the angels in heaven, right, are worshiping, ascribing worth to the Godhead. He leaves all that behind to take on flesh and walk on this earth. So those are a couple of ideas of what the kenosis may have been. And you may have some idea, other ideas as well. Also, I had another note in my Bible. Some think it means he emptied himself of the visible manifestations of God. So he took on human flesh, didn't look like God. Nobody would know he was God, but they certainly figured it out as he went. So there's lots of options there. It's a difficult verse, and it's not easy to know for sure. Of what did he empty himself? But it's a very Christological passage that Paul gives us.